Greetings from Earth, and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. Broadcasting live tonight from Paradise, California.
Greetings from Earth and welcome to the Creative Cosmos. I'm your host, Christopher Moores, and this is Studio 2 in Paradise, California. You're listening to BBS Radio. And thank you for joining us at our new time. We have Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays at 3 o'clock Pacific. The new version of the Creative Cosmos is going to be broadcasting. And I'll tell you a little bit about the new format I'm setting up. Monday is going to be the big expression day, where I tune in and express my thoughts on anything in the metaphysical realm and the spiritual realm and anything I find insightful, because I truly believe there's a huge area of education that has been kept from the people through the ages, but is now open and available and simply needs messengers to carry it forth. Ancient wisdom traditions, art traditions, together in one place, at one time, here and now, to awaken the soul that is within the body. That is one of the core missions of the Creative Cosmos, is to show the undercurrent of unity in the Western art culture and the Eastern wisdom traditions. And once we find that link, we see many pathways to source. We see there are as many ways to truth as there are people walking the path. And when all the doors are open and the horizons are endless, then you can explore in a way that resonates with your curiosity and interest, and your potential will become actual. And as always, you can follow along on the creativecosmos.org website. I'll give it to you again, creativecosmos.org. And there's always a wide variety of things, from the information center, which contains links to most, if not all, of the major sources of information that people go to today, the alternate media, so to speak, the internet media. And there's a soul school, where if you visit there, you can find the work of many masters through the ages. And that's one thing I'd like to bring up now, considering the Western art culture. You know, when does that usually begin? You know, that's one thing that's not taught very much in the high schools. You know, in the classrooms out there across America, music's barely holding on in schools, and being cut in various ways in various places. You know, maybe there's one art class here and there, you know, but this is the core of our heritage, our being, our connection to the past. That's one thing many Americans don't have, is that sense of culture or accomplishment, because they've adopted this trivial and fleeting TV set mentality, as if the popular culture is reality. And this is a gateway to endless suffering for the individual, because it's full of contradictions and falsehoods. So we can seek, even in our own culture, some of the solutions to what ails our society and places to find healing for the individual. We can look Yeah, well, really the modern Western art culture, speaking of the European stream of things that began the concept of America, really starts back somewhere around the year 1200. You know, music was basically chant-oriented, and it was still a very sacred-oriented art, very basic and limited. But the beginnings, nonetheless, because the basic chant became more and more evolved and eventually gave birth to most of what we know as the forms in music today. You can really trace it back to the chant, to one melody. You know, then you add an octave to the melody, and then you add a fifth, then you add the third, and here you have the chord. Then you build other chords, and then you move from just voices to instruments, and then it becomes a palette from which the rest of music history was born. You know, maybe in the 1300s there were a few instrumental versions that were more soloistic. They would be very improvisatory, very free. And then that evolved into the early Renaissance era, which wasn't really like, you know, what we usually think of when we think of the Renaissance is the 1500s, you know, or the late 1400s, early 1500s, where you have, you know, Da Vinci and Michelangelo and a whole bunch of, you know, popular music. You'd be surprised if you listen to the folk songs of the Renaissance. They're very close to the pop tunes we listen to on the radio today. In fact, they're hardly different at all. The forms are the same. They have lyrics. They have refrains. They're about all the different aspects of life, relationships, love. And some of them are even about having a wild party on a Friday night, you know. The people in the Renaissance indeed did know debauchery and good times. You know, they didn't live that long, so they had to enjoy while they had it. Well, then when we move past the Renaissance, we're just going to kind of gloss over this a little bit, just to kind of give the point of just how there are these huge areas that we could look so much more deeply into. And really the mystery of history is that if you look into it yourself, you awaken inside yourself that aspect of humanity which the era embodied. Simply being exposed to it, you will now have that at your disposal for expression, to add to your understanding of situations and philosophy. And you go through history and you soak up these artistic eras and you gain the experience of a whole era simply by tuning into the aesthetic or the vibe, which is the undercurrent in the expression. And any vibe which has been an undercurrent in an expression is still present in the universe itself. So even now, you can tune into the actual vibration which gave birth to the Renaissance in the 1500s. It's still there in the universe because creation in the universe is outside of time and space on the higher levels. So when you go to the singularity of where all exists in pure potential, you can once again attune to it and know for yourself what it was all about. And you can do this with the work of great composers and artists. You know, we move forward into the Baroque era, one of the most glorious eras of creation that humanity has ever had. Wonderfully complex, deeply expressive, you know, really many magnificent works of both, you know, music and visual art, come from the Baroque era. You look at a being like J.S. Bach, you know, he was every bit as much of a prophet or an enlightened master as Buddha, in a way, you know. He was a man who had a wife and family, many kids, faced much hardship. He wasn't the most popular composer of his day, more second or third. Telemann was probably the most famous composer of the Baroque era while they were living. But Bach actually got discovered by Mendelssohn, Felix Mendelssohn, in the early 1800s. You know, people were a little bit aware of him, but Mendelssohn, who was a composer in his own right, an early composer of romantic style music, and I'll give you a brief description of that in a moment, but he uncovered Bach many years later. And Bach's pieces today are still mainstays in churches across the land. You know, those of you who are Christian and attend masses, you will know the work of J.S. Bach. It's permeated everything, everywhere. It's just there in the backdrop. But, imagine that this man, J.S. Bach, brought this magnificence, this beauty, this grace, this description of the divine, and gave it as a gift into our world. Some say that if you were to simply try to copy all the music J.S. Bach wrote, you'd have to work every day for 80 years just to copy it. His output was immense. When you listen to something like the B minor Mass or some of his passions and listen to the music, you know, that this is an area, if you are truly a spiritual seeker looking to awaken aspects of yourself, you know, this is one way to do it, just to listen to the great music of every era. Seek music which will awaken your spirit and your soul. Incorporate it into your own being. You know, go out and listen to this music. It's not antiquated. It's not out of date. It's another version of the divine. It's another expression of infinity. Many composers in the Western music tradition reach these heights. You know, I look at Bach as one of the huge ones. You know, I gloss over Mozart in that regard a little bit. You know, I definitely think he had Christo in mind and was truly inspired. But I don't feel like he had quite the depth of godliness that a Bach did or a Beethoven did. He had gifts, he had talents. And you know what? I think he was heading there. He would have made it. You know, he would have become even more than we know today. He would have become a much different person. One thing I see about Mozart is he wasn't strong enough to overcome his circumstance. He was really bound in by the opinions of his father to some extent, and also just he had a little bit of a weakness, just insecurity, never quite got his life on track. You know, he was definitely a fleeting genius, Mozart. He was a traveler, just came through, and he was gone, just like that. And it's something to note. You know, anybody listening right now to this broadcast or listening to it in the archives, even now we have great artists and musicians who are doing work of that depth and profundity. Do you see them? Do you go to hear their music? Do you support them? You know, look at Mozart, buried in an unmarked grave, forgotten, you know, not appreciated in his lifetime. The other figure in Western art that stands out in much that way, you know, is Van Gogh. You look at Van Gogh, and he was a painter of the impressionistic style, which, again, I'll backtrack here in a moment. And his paintings today go for millions and millions of dollars and are pretty much universally accepted as some of the best art there is. But he couldn't even get anybody to look at his paintings while he was alive. Day after day, he would paint, because he felt called in his heart to do so, and his heart's desire was to share the love he expressed with somebody. If you could say Van Gogh died of anything, you could say he died of a broken heart. The heart that longed to share the beauty of existence, but could not find anybody else sensitive enough to see that which he saw. And that's been part of the plight of the artist, you know, particularly the Western artist who starts tuning into the universe but doesn't really have a place to put it. And that's because meditation has been missing from our tradition, and that is a big part of the work of Creative Cosmos, is to make that, you know, to make that missing link, to bring that in, to bring that solution in, to not only set the artist of today free, but to set all the artists of the past free, because we were all working on the same overarching goal, to find this expression of the divine, to put realization into form, to share something with humanity that will lift them higher, take them further, awaken something in them, make more things possible, take us all further, and then share with each other and compound the realization until we're going places we never even had dreamed were possible in the first place. So we had spoken of J.S. Bach in the Baroque era. Then I mentioned some things about Mozart. He was in the classical era, which was actually a very short time period. I had mentioned that the Baroque had gotten very complex. That was one of the key idiosyncrasies of the aesthetic. It was highly ornate style, very intricate and elaborate. And this could also be seen in the architecture, the buildings of that time. Even as I was saying those words, I could see some of the buildings, some of the images of the buildings with all sorts of little statues and decorations weaving this way and that, covering the whole surface of the building. Really a magnificent time, a wonderful aesthetic. But then when they moved to the classical era, they scaled everything back, right back to the basics. If you listen to the very first pieces of the classical era, somewhere around 1750, Mozart, I think, was born in 1756, maybe start really picking it up in the 60s and 70s, 1770s, right around the time of the American Revolution. The music got really cut and dry, like yum, dum, 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 you know, something, just really scaling it back to try to build once again in a new direction, because that's really what happened. The other big composer of the classical era that, you know, maybe your average person on the street hasn't heard of, but again, if you're looking to soak up the path of humanity and see some of the roots of our own Western culture, our deeper American culture, which was born from many of the philosophies of Europe in this time, think about it, Mozart, 1770s. Right in the American Revolution, I mentioned that. And, you know, truly, you know, Ben Franklin was going over there and catching some of this music. You know, put these things together. It isn't American Revolution Chapter 3, European Enlightenment Chapter 10, you know, and they're totally disconnected. We might learn things in fragments, but that's the danger of leaving such a limited understanding in place, is we never see the bigger picture, and we never give ourselves the opportunity to sink into these deeper understandings. You know, there was something moving in humanity at that time which was giving birth to these events. And the artist was seeking freedom and expression. So, yeah, the other composer I was going to mention is Haydn. Franz Joseph Haydn. He wrote over 100 symphonies, 104, some say 107, even 110, but most textbooks say 104. solid that can be completely accounted for. And he was a great contributor to just the way things developed, the way we developed our understanding and interaction. Papa Haydn, a very wise man. And his music will give you a sense of clarity, and it has a sense of humor. And he was a great influence on Beethoven. And Beethoven was the one who went where Mozart may have gone if he would have lived. Because, you know, Mozart died just in his 30s, in his early 30s. So he could have been a great contemporary of Beethoven. And they probably believe they even were in the same place at one occasion. And Mozart said something along the lines of, keep your eye on this Beethoven. He's going to do great things. And indeed he did. No other composer that I know of was so absolutely dedicated to even what we talk about on BBS Radio, service to others, service to humanity. He was totally involved in expressing this, which he knew it was his both burden and gift to carry and give birth to. And this is part of what's called the storm and stress movement of the 1800s, of where you both feel the magnitude and personal responsibility. Oh, am I going to do this? And also, yes, I will do this. This is the triumph, or this is the conquering, that we do find a way to take this immensity and give it form, give it life, and give it life in a way that it can influence others, expand each other's horizons, really transform others. I mean, Beethoven did so much for humanity and revealed so much to humanity. We couldn't even imagine what life would be without his digging deep into himself and into the universe. And even this afternoon, Don and I were having an interesting conversation about how, you know, Jesus helped ground these very high energies so that other people could have that same experience. And in some way, I feel like Beethoven did the same. He grounded certain energies that people could then access, could then be made aware of. And then after a while, more and more people became aware of it. And then it just kind of became part of humanity. And then it sinks into the subconscious, and we take it for granted as if it was there all along. But this is what the masters and the artists and all the creative people have been injecting into the overarching flow of humanity's development all along. And it's good to draw these connections and see how each piece contributes to the whole puzzle that, when connected, see, now we're getting to that point where we can see that all as one, as a whole, that moved us to this point where you and I can take on the mission and make it our own and be of that same caliber, that same intensity, that same conviction to bring truth to creation here and to carry on their work and allow it to see the light of day once again, and then to stay and become a part of all we do. All right, and it is the new Creative Cosmos time, but we still like to play tunes. As many of you may know, I have many different songs that I've written giving another form of expression to many of these ideas, and we're going to go to one right now. It's called Free Mind Sunshine.
So damn sorry. Remember
Creative Cosmos, everybody. This is Christopher Moores, and the tune you were just listening to is called Free Mind Sunshine, and it's off of my Mushroom Moon CD that you could find on creativecosmos.org. And today we've been talking about Western art, and we're going to be talking about Eastern wisdom a little bit more, and we're talking about how they have an inherent unity that can be found when you come at it from a perspective of meditation, open spaces, and just realize that it's just different ways of expressing our divine nature. It's creation and creativity flowing through the people. Going over some of the actual time periods in Western art, we had gotten up to the Romantic era, and we won't go too much more. We were talking about Beethoven and how he was every bit as much of a spiritual man as a guru or a Christ-like figure, how he awakened certain potentialities in humanity and grounded some very high spiritual energies. Why do you think people love Ode to Joy, Beethoven 9, so much, or Beethoven 5, you know, I know it's a little cliche over the years, but everybody knows that it speaks to somebody they could all relate. There's just something so human about Beethoven. And really, most of the great composers to follow for the next 50, 60 years, from Brahms to Bruckner to Mahler, you know, even Wagner and Strauss, Richard Strauss, they all built upon what Beethoven began, this great expansion, this profundity, this magnitude of vision, you know. Nobody had really incorporated the orchestra and the choir to such an extent as Beethoven did in Symphony No. 9. That was an extremely innovative thing to do at the time. Then later, some composers like Mahler did the same thing, to an even more grandiose scale. Mahler pretty much took it about as far as you can go. I used to sit in orchestras as a trumpet player and play Mahler symphonies. Wow, that's quite an ordeal. Sometimes they're 45 minutes long or an hour long, or it'll be a 5-movement symphony that lasts an hour and a half and you just play in the 5th movement. So you just sit there on stage waiting. Oh, it's great music to listen to. It will take you on all kinds of interesting journeys. But wow, it's something else to play. I don't know, except for some of you that aren't totally familiar with all the orchestral repertoire and techniques. In some of the Mahler symphonies, players even have to go off stage. Interesting thing to do. And Mahler was writing in the late 1800s, right around the turn of the century, 1900, I believe. And you'd have to actually get up and leave during the concert, run to backstage, and maybe even aim up into a hallway, and then just play a little lick that's extremely difficult, and you got to play it in a way that's in tempo with the orchestra, and still somehow follow a conductor. So that's how crazy orchestras got around the turn of the century. And then music, well, also around the turn of the century, I'll go as far as Impressionism here, and then I'll leave it at that for now. But we had mentioned Van Gogh as an Impressionist painter, and there were musical painters of Impressionism as well, like Debussy, for instance, and his piano pieces that don't necessarily gravitate towards any center. They don't have that pull back to do, so to speak, that pull back to a core tonality. Instead, they just kind of float in space. You know, they have this real open, spacious, hazy, dreamlike quality. Really interesting music and a really interesting aesthetic to incorporate in your own artistic vision. But when we take, so what I think as well is we go through the university systems in America, and maybe by the end of university we start becoming aware of some of what I'm talking about, the greater cultural events that led us to where we are today. But it doesn't really go far enough in educating us as beings on planet Earth. I mean, there's such a vast amount of information that goes so much farther than where most universities leave off. So we have to continue to go, continue to move. Don't think just because you have a bachelor's degree or a master's degree or whatever that you've stopped learning. In fact, I barely even started learning till I had a master's degree and I didn't even begin learning yet. You know, I really had my awakening sometime while I was working on a doctorate. And I even marveled after the fact how I had gotten so far as to have a master's degree and not be aware of some of the more cosmic matters. You know, even the fact that you have an aura and chakras and, you know, just the way life works in the astral planes and all the things we talk about on BBS radio. huge field of study. You know, I think that our show archives one day will almost be like a university of, you know, a place to find this information all in one place, all these different tools of understanding and ways to take yourself to the universal level, to release your spirit potential and make it actual in real life on planet Earth. You know, I heard someone say this today, just in passing, about, you know, a lot of people don't think they can be spiritual in the, quote, real world. They were saying something like, well, I got to deal with the real world here and there. That's a real cop-out. That just tells you the person wants to live in 3D and isn't really ready to make the step into the fourth dimension where things are a lot freer. And they are not stressful because whatever happens in 3D, you know, could be a show glitch, you know, some of the weird things that happen from time to time, you know, or it could be, you know, even if you lose a job or, you know, end a relationship, or even some smaller things, just inconveniences. It's all, you know, if you're safe and you're healthy and you're vibrantly alive and you have cultivated a sense of letting go and surrendering to the flow of the universe and have learned to be more non-attached to things and people and everything, this won't be so hard. It's a different way of living, a different way of looking at things. And I truly believe that the cure for what ails Western society is there in the Eastern wisdom traditions, you know, in Buddhism or more particularly in Zen, you know, but you can take the teachings of the Buddha and incorporate them with our own sensibilities, but just really free ourselves up. You know, it doesn't have to be Buddha specifically. You know, there are any number of gurus that made the mission to America. You know, there's a song by Alanis Morissette called Thank You, India. And I love that song because I feel that way. I feel that deep love for India because they sent spiritual beings, people over here to America. You know, Yogananda is one of them, and Osho is another. And, you know, Osho didn't get nearly the appreciation that Yogananda did, but that was maybe he's a different kind of fella, so to speak. But anyway, they both came here because they saw they were part of a bigger plan amongst the spiritual people. They could see that America was a place where the transcendent human could be born. You know, a place where people were coming together from all over the world and were sharing their culture and were starting to become free of some of the limitations that had bound humanity up to that point. And so they sent their greatest spiritual teachers here to bring us that higher wisdom, something that masters in various traditions throughout history had known individually, but something that had not been quite possible for the larger group yet. But really we're at that threshold now where it isn't such a secretive thing and isn't such a singular phenomenon and it's not just a rarity, but really anybody who cares about developing themselves spiritually or awakening their soul potential or walking the path of, you know, self-improvement, discovery, it's really available. And I can't see how, if you were truly dedicated, I can't see how you could possibly fail. It's pretty much a guarantee that if you are sincere in your search, that you will succeed. And one thing we're dedicated to on BBS is bringing this information to the people of the whole world, the whole planet. That's why we start with internet radio. So anybody in the planet, you know, somebody could just happen to, that's how things work in the universe. You throw the information out there, you know, and that's why, how I do with my articles. I always marvel at how my articles end up in different places and they respond, or people respond to them in different ways, and I never really know which one's going to hit or which one's going to really mean something to somebody. But you don't have to. That's part of the magic, is that people encounter it. When you throw enough of it out there, you send enough of your intention, enough of your expression out there, if somebody needs that, any aspect that you had expressed, the universe will be such that they will encounter it. They'll just happen upon it on some website at some time, and then they'll read it, and that was the time they needed. They needed to come to it on their own. And so we just send it out there. We send it out there so that when it's time, when somebody feels the call, there's some place to go and find the answers, because there really are no questions that lack answers these days. You know, eventually, to some extent, you rise above even questioning itself, but any question there's an answer to now, or a way to find the answer for yourself, because the universe contains all the answers. And when you're connected to the universe, you will be able to draw anything you want directly from it. It's so. Believe me, it is. You just have to make room for it. You have to create that openness, which is why we can look to the East and see the value of meditation. See the value of slowing down and looking inward and awakening to that realm which lies within. Quieting our mind, not letting our emotions rule us. Realizing that we live in a body that has five senses, and that what we see on the outside is interpreted by those five senses in the mind. So reality is twice removed. But yet inside, knowing that we can feel reality as it stands, unfiltered in the moment, through our interconnectedness to all things. And this is not just a theory. This is not just a philosophy. This is something you can experience as a vibrant reality. It is so. The universe is magic, magnetic, electric, and eclectic, and has a sense of humor, has a sense of style, elegance, and grace. Whatever you love in art, philosophy, or in the sages through the ages is but an aspect of that creator which you can become one with and incorporate as a whole. And then when you express, you become one of those vehicles for transmitting that Dharma to the world. Stay tuned and listen to our other great shows and our great music. And it's been great joining you today from Paradise, California. And I'll close the show with the last song of the day called Space Grass.
I want a new hat. It's been quite a while. One that makes me happy. One that makes me smile. It is no secret. Upon my head is a brilliant noggin that is well read. Keep the energy from leaking out the holy crown. Seek to somehow stop the fleeing out of bounds. A limited transistor, a mental block and blister, plug the hole. Now you know I want a new car to drive around. that takes me snappy throughout the town. When I arrive there, fix me a drink, then I can kick back and start to think. Keep the energy from bleeding out my brain. Seek to somehow stop the searing inner pain. A limited transistor, a mental block and blister, plug the hole. Now you know. I could walk through walls then with pure insight. An astral traveler without a home. A blade of space grass faded to roam.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.